interrupt our regularly scheduled Revelation series to bring you this important message from my desk, from the Word of God, and from a strong feeling I have that you need to be told the following. This is what you need to be told. I'm really, really convicted about that you need this, to the point that I am actually derailing the Revelation series for one day to tell you this. And here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so important. You do not need dreams, visions, or voices. You don't need a special gift that allows God to speak to you in dreams, visions, or voices. And the one thing you definitely don't need is people coming up to you, people purporting to be spiritual, who tell you that they have been given dreams, visions, and voices. Especially dreams, visions, and voices that have to do with you. That have to do with God having something to tell you. And that your friend or your family member has a special revelation just for you from the throne of God, given to them because they have a spiritual gift that you don't have. And they operate in a realm of the spiritual that you can't hope to obtain because God just doesn't speak to you like He speaks to them. And even though they don't overtly do this, it's a passive aggression that they are trying to tell you that you're just not as spiritual as they are, because if you were, then God could speak to you directly and you wouldn't need their intermediary help. You would not need their intercessory wonderments. You could get the Word of God yourself. I am here to tell you that you can already get the Word of God yourself. Where? In the Word of God. And not only that, because here's the shocking aspect of what I'm telling you today. You don't need to find out what God wants you to do in your life through the Word of God, because you can't find that out. I hinted at this to you when I told you that you can't go to the Word of God to find out where you're supposed to move, who you're supposed to marry, what job you're supposed to have, what shirt you're supposed to wear today. The Word of God does not contain these details for your life. How do you find out these things? Many people would tell you that these extra scriptural considerations come from other people who are plugged into the divine mind, who have special gifts and revelations that come to them in the form of dreams, visions, and voices. But I tell you this, and this is related to the book of the unveiling, is that we are now in the era, and it's getting worse and worse as the time draws closer and closer for the end of this eon. We are getting more and more of these dreams, visions, and voices. Why? Because there's a great move of God ahead. And just as when our Lord was on the earth, the great move of God, of Christ coming to the earth, was preceded by great satanic activity, because Satan knows ahead of time what's coming to earth, and so he seeks to disrupt it, and he does that by disturbing the waters. He comes down and he takes a stick and he stirs the waters up and he starts to obsess people. He starts to produce a counterfeit, because he's trying to preempt the thing of God that's coming to the earth. He did that in our Lord's day. Our Lord dealt with all sorts of spiritual obsessions. All sorts of people were possessed by demons, because the demons were, again, trying to disrupt. They're always trying to disrupt what's coming. And so we have a huge event coming, A, the snatching away of the body of Christ, and B, the inauguration of the 1,000-year kingdom. So I know Satan's operations. I know his plans, and what he wants to do is disrupt. But he doesn't disrupt by detonating atom bombs. He disrupts by false spiritual manifestations, and this is the day for that. So when somebody tells you, Jesus said this to me, I mean, I literally heard a voice. No, no, no. Immediately, my default reaction is, that's a false manifestation. Having said that, can Jesus speak to people? Of course, if he wants to, he's Jesus. He can come down and appear to somebody. And there's another thing. I immediately put in the category of false spiritual manifestation. Jesus appeared to me at my bed. And look, I don't care if Jesus told you the most wonderful things. I don't care if Jesus told you that I am the greatest man of God on the planet, or that Jesus told you that you're going to win the lottery, or if Jesus told you to love everyone. I don't care if it's a message of pure grace and peace. I don't trust it coming from what I consider to be a dubious source, especially in this day, which would be a spiritual manifestation, a literal vision, a literal dream, something that you actually hear. People hear voices. Now, people have told me, I heard the Lord say to me, and they say it wasn't an audible voice, and I'm immediately relieved. That's good. Good. I'm glad to hear it's not an audible voice. It wasn't an audible voice, Martin. It was just that still small voice in my spirit. I can go with that. I can go that God go with God putting things in your head. But I have an even more reliable gauge than that, and I'm going to give that to you before the end of this show. I'm going to give you a reliable gauge of how you can know what you're supposed to do next. That's right. This is might be the most important thing you've ever listened to, which is why I had to preempt the Revelation series, which is not really a preemption because this has to do with a day of false miracles and false signs. This is not now the day when God gives the gift of knowledge, then the gift of interpretation, the gift of prophecy. These gifts were necessary in a day before the Word of God was complete. Before the Word of God was complete, how else did God write Scripture? He gave it to people. He gave it to people like Paul, Peter, John. Very few people wrote Scripture. I'm not writing Scripture today. You're not writing Scripture. I'm writing damn good articles. It's not Scripture. It's not the Word of God. It's the Word of Martin Zender. And it needs to be looked at. It needs to be looked at critically. It needs to be, compared to the Word of God. I'm not claiming divine inspiration here. I can claim inspiration like, oh, I got a great idea, but I don't have that gift because that gift doesn't exist today because Scripture has been completed. Colossians 1:25, our apostle said, I complete the Word of God. That's not me talking, that's Paul. Paul said, I complete the Word of God. So we don't need the gift anymore of knowledge. We need knowledge, but not the specific gift of knowledge where someone has special knowledge from God that supplants the Scriptures. In that day, it was writing the Scriptures. In that day, a special gift of knowledge was used by God to write the Scriptures. Today, this so-called gift of knowledge from God is used to supplant the Scriptures. And I'm warning you against it. That immediately when someone comes to you and says, God has a word for you. God gave me a word for you. Nope, he didn't. I can listen to it. And even if it's so great, God told me that your ministry is really going to take off. People have told me this before. God told me your ministry is really going to take off. I don't put any stock in it. I'm very polite. I'm very nice. Oh, that's great. I hope it does. But you think I put hope in this? No, I don't. And what if God did make my ministry take off? What if the next day 100 new people subscribe to my website? I would not attribute it to that person's word, because that person's word to me is false. It's false. Even if it's right, it's false. There's no prophet study. But Martin, that prophet said that something was going to happen and it happened. That's because it was meant to happen. Guess who else can tell the future? Satan. Satan is a little ahead of the curveball. He knows what's going to happen next. So Satan can tell you what's going to happen next. So the fact that it's right doesn't make it from a reliable source or a godly source. It could be from Satan. So accuracy is not a measure of acceptability today. It's not. That's not to be taken into account. So these gifts that people are claiming to have, and this is especially rampant in the Pentecostal world, of course, because people love to have power. They love personal power. They love manifestations. And they want to be able to tell you a word of the Lord. But Martin, it came true. It was so right. He got my life so right. Well, sometimes, as in the case of Benny Hinn, they have a little earphone in, and the people who are finding out things about people in the vestibule of the sanctuary are telling Benny Hinn things in his earpiece. And all of a sudden, Benny Hinn knows things about your life. Ooh, isn't that miraculous? No, it's criminal. Even so, if someone is getting a word for you, it's from Satan. Yeah, that's what I like to call Satan. Just a little twist of mine. So don't believe it, don't trust it. Now, concerning dreams, Joel says that in, you know, the last days, your people will dream dreams and all this. And there's some legit with this when the kingdom is really in its heyday. I mean, when it's starting to come back big time. That was a prophecy of Joel, and I believe that it was active then in the days of Pentecost following our Lord's resurrection. And it may be that it comes back among Israel before the last days, but that's not my business, and it's not the business of anybody in the body of Christ. Dreams are psychological things. Dreams are, I can't explain dreams except to say I think your subconscious lets loose. When you're asleep, your mind works things out somehow that you can't do when you're conscious. It's almost like your computer doing an update during the night. This computer will update at midnight, leave your computer on, go to bed, and all of a sudden, or your phone, and your phone's doing these updates, wah, 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 getting things straightened out, lined up, your technological ducks coming into a row. Well, that's what happens when you sleep. I don't put zero weight on my dreams as far as God trying to tell me something. So having said all that, how does God speak to us today? This is maturity. What I'm about to tell you comes with maturity, and here it is. The maturity is in the knowledge of knowing that all is of God, and that God is ordering the circumstances of your life, and that all things are of Him. I just said that. Yes, but I must have repeated it for a reason. It's vitally important. 2 Corinthians 5, 18-19, all is of God. And a man's steps, a human's steps are ordered by God. This is maturity, knowing that God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of His will, and that nothing that happens to you apart from God willing it to happen, because He has set your course ahead of time. He knows your days. He numbers your days, numbers the hairs on your head. And He also is just as detail-oriented about your circumstances. Now, the reason I tell you that is because every decision you make is informed by what you're going through, by your circumstances. So whatever conclusion you reach, for instance, should I move to Rochester or should I move to Albany? What should I do? And so you review things in your mind, and you have a bad feeling about Albany because you were there one time and you went to the grocery store and somebody said something mean to you, or you had some bad experience. So that's pushing you toward Rochester. Okay, then I think I want to move to Rochester. Well, guess what? God didn't directly tell you, thou shalt move to Rochester, but He told you by the events that happened. You had this bad feeling. So you might be deceived into thinking, well, I'm just basing this decision on my feelings. But those feelings that you have are a result of circumstances that were all ordered by God. Isn't it? You see this? You see what I'm saying? Every decision you make, you weigh things out. You weigh them out carefully. You look at the history of a thing. You talk to people. And these are all things that God has done for you. So it's not like you have to sit in a dark room, put your fingers on your temple and say, God, please show me what to do. Show me what to do. Haven't you been paying attention? God's been showing you what to do for the last 10 years of your life, for your whole life. He's been showing you what to do via your life's circumstances, stuff that happens to you, stuff that happens to you. Feelings that you got. I hate to use the word feelings. Let me put it this way. Not feelings that you get, but conclusions you reach based on events that God ordered. This is maturity. So you get rid of this dichotomy thing, this, there's my will, and then there's God's will, and then I have to find out what God's will is for my life. So you seek God's will, and you go into a room and say, I'm not going to move until God gives me his will. And this is where this false thing comes in, where people wait for a word from the Lord, and they wait for a dream, or they wait for a voice, they wait for Jesus to appear. This is immaturity. And it invites false spiritual manifestations. Here's true maturity, is to realize that God is operating all, that to live is Christ. Paul says, to live is Christ. To me, Paul says, to live is Christ. So it's not like I have Christ over here and my life over here, and I have to figure out where the twain shall meet. It's the fact that to live is Christ. This is maturity, to realize, wow, every thing that comes to me, God wants to happen to me. And if I have a brain, then I can put things together and I can weigh things out carefully. I can talk to people who are experts. I can call the bank and see if that price is good for that house, and I can compare it to the price for this house. If I want to get my car washed, and should I go to this car wash or that car wash? I look at the price of that car wash and it's $5. This one is $7, but this one adds a wheel well scrub. So you compare all these things, and God is the one who inspired the people to make the car wash, inspired them to put the prices on it. God is doing all these things to lead you to the decision that I'm going to go to that car wash. Guess what? That decision is of God, because it came as a result of hundreds, even thousands of micro circumstances that, if you're mature, you realize all of them have been arranged for you by God. Therefore, the decision you make is the best decision you can make at the time. It may even be based on the fact that you're tired. I made a lousy decision that day. Why was it lousy? A, you were tired. B, your kids were driving you crazy. You had crap to eat for breakfast that day. There are all sorts of negative things that were acting on you, and so you were just weakened, and in your weakened state, you made a bad decision. You can either mourn that decision. Why did I do that? I should have sought the Lord. No. The Lord was the one who made sure you ate a crappy breakfast, made sure you didn't get enough sleep, made sure you were sick that day, made sure you were mortal, and so all these things led to your crappy decision. So in a way, I'm taking away this guilt you have, blaming yourself for that. I should have asked my friend to give me his word, to give me a dream. No. That was a decision God wanted you to make on that day. You might then say, well, I need to eat better. I shouldn't eat those Fruit Loops for breakfast every day. Okay, I grant you that. So God used that decision you made to help you improve your breakfast. Like, all things work together, because God causes all things to work together. So you don't need to wait on the Lord in this Pentecostal way. I'm telling you that there's a more mature disposition you can have, and that disposition is to know that God is already, you don't have to wait for this, he's already operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will. And these are the things that inform your decisions. Be at peace, because our God is a God who controls the circumstances, and he's a God of peace. Amen. Bye.